Well, our sermon text for this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 20. So if you're able, I'd ask you to please rise for the hearing of the Gospel, which we read in Jesus' holy name. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When our angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house and remember the birth of Christ for us. Tonight I pray once again that by your word you would show us our sin and need for a Savior, or bring us to confession and to repentance, and point us also to the Savior you provided in your Son. Strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, fairy tales begin with the words, "once upon a time." But the Christmas gospel begins with the words, "and it came to pass in those days." Fairy tales occur in mythical lands, but our Christmas gospel occurs in the very real town of Bethlehem, during the very real reign of Caesar Augustus and of Quirinius. It's incredibly important for us to keep this in mind. Because around Christmas time, our culture often focuses on make-believe, on magic, and on fantasy. Now, those things can certainly have their proper place, but it seems for many that the stuff of Christmas, the lights, the gifts, and the music, they can become a flight into an imaginary world. They can become this temporary retreat from the real world and from real life. And you see, that's the exact opposite of the Christmas message. Christmas is no escape into the imaginary. Luke here in his gospel emphasizes that what he is recording is real history. He's telling an account that actually occurred in a real place at a real time when certain real officials were in power. This isn't a legend or a myth or a fable. It's not a bit of make-believe. Instead, this is true. It's an accurate and factual account of how things took place. Christmas is not about escaping into a fantasy world. Instead, it is about our life in the real world being redeemed and renewed by the Lord. It's about the very real Son of God, the one through whom all things were created, entering into his creation as a true and literal baby boy, putting on the very same flesh that you and I have. It's about a first-time mother giving birth to that child in the humblest of circumstances. It was the cold of night, among real livestock with all the smells that come with them. It's about the Lord of all taking on the form of a servant and being laid in a simple cattle trough so that he might rescue us from our sin. There is nothing unreal or imaginary at all about Christmas. Instead, Jesus is the concrete and tangible love of God sent to walk amongst us. We have all fallen in many ways. We have sinned and decided to go our own way and to choose our own path. So in order to save us from perishing eternally, Jesus, the Son of God, took on our human nature and caused himself to be placed in that feeding trough. The one who slept near the beasts came to lift us out of our sinful and fallen state and set us free from the power of death and the devil. Jesus descended into our humanity in order to raise us to the heights of eternal life with himself. He became like us so that we might become like him. There in the stable with the animals, we see Jesus as the new Adam who has come to restore us and all things to paradise, to recreate us by his coming in the flesh. God the Son took humanity into himself in order that we might be made new by him. By his conception and birth, Jesus sanctified and purified our nature. His incarnation permeates and makes holy mankind. God has greatly exalted us, not becoming another angel or any other creature, but instead a true man, our human brother. Christ became one of us so that he might take our place under the law, in order that we might be set free from its condemnation. Jesus' lowly birth even foreshadows the humble life he would lead and the shameful death he would suffer on our behalf. You see, the wood of the manger would be exchanged for the wood of a cross. And just as Jesus was wrapped in cloths at his birth, he would also be wrapped in cloths after his death. It would be those same grave clothes that he would leave behind in his glorious resurrection. The Son of God was born among us and became man for this very purpose, to die in the flesh and in our place, and to shed his blood to ransom and purchase us from the powers of darkness. He was made to be like us in every way, except without sin, so that he might be our perfect stand-in. As true man, Jesus was our substitute in death. And as true God, he was the only one able to pay the infinite price that our sins required, that price that no one else was able to pay. That means that only this fully divine man has eternal life. Only in that child who is laid in the manger and now who is bodily raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father is there salvation. Any other attempt to find forgiveness or salvation or hope is going to fall short because only Jesus could accomplish it. The angels tell us of our real hope. They say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." They say, "Fear not. Do not be in terror of death any longer. No longer fear the judgment of God, because your sins have been forgiven. Even the evils and injustices that have been done to you have been cleansed from you. Christ the Savior has come to rescue you from the devil's prison and to bring you into his eternal kingdom. Light has broken in and has shattered the darkness forever. Rejoice greatly in the good news that all of this was done for you. Jesus is born to you, as the angels said. He is your merciful King and gracious Lord." The angels certainly rejoiced over what God was doing for us. After announcing the good tidings to the shepherds, the whole multitude of the heavenly host spilled over heaven's edge and burst forth with praise to God, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The very coming of Christ is a sign of God's goodwill toward us, that he wants all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. Only Jesus brings real peace on this earth. And not a temporary peace between people, but an eternal peace with God. In Christ, we who were once at war with God are now reconciled and put right with him. God and man come together in Jesus because he himself is both God and man. Those who believe and are baptized into the body of Christ are thereby reunited with God. You see, the shepherds were given a sign, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And you have also been given a sign as to where you can find Jesus. You don't have to go to some over-the-top reenactment of the Christmas story to experience closeness to Christ. It isn't necessary to have a living nativity recreation with actors and live animals to feel like you were there with Christ. Because the living nativity is here. Because Jesus is here, concretely and tangibly. He is here in his word, just as he has promised to be. He is here whenever two or three gather in his name. And he is here in the sacraments. Jesus met you in the waters of your baptism, not to wash dirt from your flesh, but sin from your soul. And he is here at the table and offers you forgiveness in his body and blood, which are with the elements of Holy Communion. Tonight on Christmas Eve, we remember the birth of the Christ child, of God putting on flesh to dwell among mankind. We remember that Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life on our behalf. We remember that he laid down his life in our place, facing the full wrath that our sins had earned us. And we also remember that God continues to offer everything that Christ accomplished freely to us in word and in sacrament. So once again, Merry Christmas. And throughout this next year, continue to seek Christ where he has promised to be found. And receive the gifts of God in word and sacrament. Rest in Christ for you in this Christmas season. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. Your word is truth. Sanctify us by that truth. As we prepare to go out now and celebrate your birth with our families, both tonight and tomorrow, constantly remind us of the reason for the season. Lord, it's not the gifts or the food or the music or the fun or even the family, but instead that you gave the greatest gift of all in your Son, born to die that we might have life and life eternal with him. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen.